We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Bring him in now, Seth Everett, our National Baseball Insider. And I bet you are correct, Seth. I did read your tweet, man.
You like that?
I did. No. Well, let's start there. So, Supreme Court makes a ruling. My question to you is, what do you think it does to not only baseball, but sports in general?
Well, you know, what everybody believes, and I did this on a Forbes column, I think the media is the first beneficiary. Because if people think they can gamble legally, because don't forget, you know, no states have actually enacted any laws, and outside of the ones that already have them, New Jersey, I guess New York and Pennsylvania are close, and that's as far as it's gone. And don't forget, you know, Congress hasn't decided to come up with any new gambling bans. All of those things are possible. The theory is that if I'm inclined this football season to put money on games, I must become more educated on the sports. That will help sports radio, podcasts, blogs, newspapers. Like, that's what the optimism to me is. And all I do is try to throw caution to it because, you know, cord cutting is still happening. And I think the NFL is the best litmus test because there is no secret, and this is a well-documented stat, that in the last two seasons, the NFL has had a 20% decrease in television ratings. There is theories that after 2016, that it was the election, because the NFL was down 12% after 2016. The theory was that in 2017, because the election was over, that it would be not a 12%, you know, return, but that it would be a 3 or 4% return and that, you know, balance would be back in the force. Now the theory is that, you know, this is a big season for the NFL because even though they are still the juggernaut, no one's taking that away from them anytime soon. The theory is, can the NFL withstand the press of having three consecutive years of declining numbers? The first thing I thought about was, this is the only shot the NFL has.
I believe the NFL to be a benefactor. I mean, I believe all sports to be a benefactor from something like this. And I mean, you can already bet online. You can do things overseas. I mean, that's already out there. But I think you're going to see some brick and mortars that are going to become a little more popular. You're going to see some more money pumped into local economies because of this.
Atlantic City, New Jersey might be back on the map.
Right. Yeah, I completely agree. I think you're going to see some additional monies in that area that are piped in. But I agree with you in sports talk radio, and the other aspect of this is I agree that we would benefit from something like this because of sponsorships as well. That money then becomes free and easy.
Right. You would think. You know, I spoke to Danny Sheridan on my Sports with Friends podcast, and, you know, he immediately went to that the advertising in Europe is out of this world. And then in Australia, there is legalized gambling, but it is illegal to advertise for gambling. So it's just a very interesting balance. We'll see, you know, where this all goes. I have always said the NFL's ascension, and I've used the Green Bay market as the test market. And I said this back in 2004, 2005, and I said that the ascension of the NFL ratings in the state of Wisconsin can be tied directly to the prevalence of the iPhone. Because Green Bay, to me, is the perfect market. You are not a new Packer fan. People are either born a Packer fan, they are either a Packer fan since the minute they breathe life, or they are new to football and thus become the Packer fan.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody at 25 years old says, you know what, I've never watched a Packer game or I've never watched an NFL game, and suddenly now I'm tuning in.
Right.
Like, that doesn't exist. It's not New York. It's not, you know what I mean? New York's a bad example. The Jets, the Giants, the whole thing with the Eagles close by. That's not the example.
Well, Pittsburgh Steelers, same way.
Same thing. Okay, fine. I use the Green Bay Packers, but yeah, you can use the Pittsburgh Steelers. But if you look at Wisconsin television football ratings, they increased from 2003 to 2009. What was the one constant that changed? People could access offshore gambling sites from their phones.
Mm-hmm.
And the prevalence of the iPhone existed. My whole thing about gambling, and I made this point quite clear, was if we only have a finite people that do gamble, and they migrate from the illegal gambling sites to the legal gambling sites, where's the increase? Does that mean, like, the person who's thinking about gambling, let's say that's a new person to 105.7. Let's just use that
right.
as another example. Does that person not already gamble? Like, do you think that, do you honestly think that somebody, let's say there's a legal gambling parlor and a guy wants to put, you know, $30 on the Bucks one random night.
Right.
Right? Is that person making his first ever bet? I tend to doubt it.
Yeah, I think that the number, and when you go back to saying it's a minimal number, I think the number of people that are going to start flocking to these brick and mortars are people that either one, they've already been doing it, and 95-97% of them have already placed a bet somewhere, some shape, some form. Whether it's, you know, your old pick'em tens on the old, you know, cards that you used to get at home, or right. they're doing something online. I think where they'll gain a little bit of boost is the casual person walking by on a night going, hey, it's only $10, I'll throw it on the Packers to win this weekend, or something to that effect.
Right.
But I think everybody else is pretty much, they've gambled in one way, shape, or form. Just now they don't have to figure out, you know, Bob down the street's going to place their bet when he goes to Vegas type of thing.
But that person probably is already a listener.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's where I throw caution, because what person is saying, you know, I normally listen to Top 40, but I have a financial interest in this now. I have to listen to Milwaukee Sports Radio. And that's my question. And, you know, I think that there will be more gambling segments. I don't know
yes.
if you and Joe have talked about
that. I was just going to say there's going to be more. This is the line. Who plays well against the line? Who plays well against the spread? That type of thing. Yes, I agree with that.
Right. And I think that'll be very interesting. And I'll be interested to see whether or not this fall CBS and Fox start to implement that, you know, and ESPN as well. You know, start to implement that. If that conversation starts to come in, Danny Sheridan made the point on the podcast. He said, you know, the fascinating thing will be the metrics for the Cleveland Browns against the New York Jets.
Mm-hmm.
And that in the third quarter, does that audience hold for what is essentially two crappy teams?
I this is fascinating. I'd want to stay on it, but I want to talk to you about Robinson Cano.
Got the whole hour.
Yeah, I said before we went to the top of the hour, you can't be this stupid. To sit down and at you look, we had Ryan Braun, who gave one of the most impassioned, brilliant speeches ever of denial of anything.
Put a urine sample in his basement,
and then ended up getting busted anyway, which made it twice as bad. For Robinson Cano to go, I didn't know, and it was a doctor who in the Dominican Republic, and you could pretty much stop right there and just say stupid.
Sure.
So does anybody even take a modicum of grain of salt with what Robinson Cano has to say?
Well, the two takeaways that I had were, number one, Miguel Cabrera was very impassioned. He gave a Ryan Braun-esque speech saying that this is a sham job, that Robbie's clean, and Miguel Cabrera is furious. Okay, loyalty is a wonderful thing, and Miguel Cabrera is a fantastic hitter in his time.
Mm-hmm.
My big thing is he tested positive for a diuretic, which is used as a masking agent. So don't tell me what he took,
mm-hmm.
because you don't know. That's what a masking agent is.
Right.
And I'm sorry, but that's, you know, to draw the parallel to the gambling, you know, just to draw the parallel, you know, there is, I do this work with the Seton Hall Sports Poll, right? And this poll, every year they ask these questions, you know, do you gamble? Do you know someone who gambles? Have you ever gambled on the NCAA Final Four? You know, things like that. And the numbers are always ridiculously low. Because no one will admit to
right.
do it. Even they're all lying. But okay, they're lying. This is the same circumstance. If you're testing positive for a masking agent, I have to assume you did everything.
Yeah.
And that's the problem with this whole thing. But what it proves, and I think this is a great thing, number one, it proves that the testing program is the best in sports, and it works. And just because you have one cheater, and I have said this for anybody in your listening audience, and I have said this for years now, if your office, if your company has 750 employees, someone is stealing staplers.
Usually.
Someone
yes.
is, somebody is cheating at something.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is not a crisis. This is not the steroid era is rearing its ugly head. Like, it's none of that. This proves that the testing program is doing exactly what it was designed for, and there are sports in this world that would do well to follow baseball's model. And I am a huge critic of baseball, in case you didn't know me. I am a huge critic, but in this, they have this nailed.
It has been a testing program. Look, I know people want to give Bud Selig a bunch of grief for a lot of different stuff, but when they finally got around to humiliating Donald Fear and putting him in front of Congress and saying, okay, now we'll succumb to this testing program and making it have some teeth, that was one of the best things that ever happened. I mean, again, for everything that people want to kind of throw at the feet of Bud Selig, which I think a lot of that's just erroneous or just, anger in some way, shape, or form.
It's a mix.
That's been correct. I mean, what that did for baseball and trying to clean it up has been fantastic.
Well, I think, the big thing about Bud is, the big accusation is that he looked the other way. And all I can say is, number one, if you go back to the 90s and realize the mistrust between the league and the union at the time,
oh God, yeah.
And all Bud Selig was trying to do was get the game on the field. He didn't care if guys were smoking dope on the mound. He was trying to get the guys on the field. That's the first thing. The second thing is, as soon as he saw the prevalence of performance-enhancing drugs, he banned it in the minor leagues, where they do not have a union.
Right.
And for those people who say that for the years that steroids were banned in the minor leagues and not in the major leagues, if people want to look and point to Bud Selig, he's not the problem. That was the union. And the union would not, and I knew this from a top union source who's not there obviously anymore, but he said if Bud Selig called the union office, they wouldn't take his phone call.
Yeah. I mean, that's how people don't realize how bad it was and how much, I mean, even though there was a respect between Donald Fear and Bud, there was no love loss on either side.
Not really. Yeah. I mean, they might have been publicly kind to each other, but they couldn't stand each other. And it was the underlings. It was the Gene Orzas and the guys in that union. And I'm usually a very pro union person. I am a union person just inherently in my philosophy. And in this circumstance, they did what they did to protect their players. But if we want to talk about integrity of the game, don't put Bud Selig's name in there.
Yeah, it was something that everybody knew, I mean, some guys tried to hide it. But, I mean, when you have candy dishes in clubhouse of greenies, come on.
Well, and a lot of people have said that, did we do the balls in play line from the statistic from Jason Stark?
No, go ahead.
Oh, okay. So it's a piggyback from last week's conversation, but I do think that baseball suffered when greenies were banned. I'm not saying that greenies are healthy and that they should be used, but I think the product, the quality of play suffered, and the injuries, the day game after night games, all things increased. Jason Stark did this article in The Athletic that had some empirical data to just go back of a couple of things that we've been talking about with the too many strikeouts, and I'll just give you this two numbers. Number one, as of last week, baseball had 400 more strikeouts than hits.
Right.
400.
Yeah, we were talking about that last week, okay. Yeah.
But I had the data. The other one, the other statistic that I thought was amazing, and this is, again, I'm giving credit, this is Jason Stark in The Athletic. I do not get it paid by The Athletic. You read his article, subscribe, do whatever you want. But the other statistic is, if you compare this year's pacing to 2009, if the numbers hold out and project over 162 games, baseball will have 10,000 less balls hit in play than 2009.
Doesn't bode well for the sport. Seth, I know
I know. We're not talking about, this is not get off my lawn 1975. Like,
right.
This is 2009, my friend.
Mm-hmm. I know. It doesn't bode well for the sport as far as they're worried about pace of play, and you can't even make the play exciting because of this. So I completely get it. Seth, we'll pick up where we left off next week, man. I appreciate it.
You got it, my man.
All right, buddy. Talk to you soon. There you go. Seth Everett, our baseball insider, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.